Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. On the call today, we have Rafik Damak, Zaid Jamil, Olga Cavelli, Chuck Gomes, Bill Drake, and Christina Rosette. And for staff, we have Margie Milam and myself, Glenn Saint-Jerry. Thank you very much, Bill. Continue.
Thank you, Glenn. Hi, everybody. I'm sure that probably everybody wants to get this call over within an hour, so we should be reasonably straightforward in going through the issues here. We have two documents that we have to finalize to send out, as well as I think we should talk for a second about the language of the motion if we make any changes on the documents. And also Chuck had drafted a message to SG chairs. We might want to talk about that if there's time. What I would suggest is, as far as I know, there are basically three issues on which we have yet to reach closure. Two of those issues, I believe, are ones that we're not going to resolve here today, that we've got chunks of people on both sides of them. I had made a suggestion, as had Chuck, about perhaps pursuing those via proposed amendments. We can talk about that, whether that's acceptable to the parties. And then there's one other issue, which was the evaluation team. So shall we just go through those three points quickly? Does anybody have any other suggestions or points of order or anything first? Hearing none, okay. So why don't we start with the two points on which we have some division in the group. On the matter of the diversity language, we have, it seems to me, one group of people comprising myself, Zahid, Olga, and Rafik that would prefer, according to the messages sent to the email list and statements made last time, to keep the language in, and if I understand correctly, Christina, Wolf, Caroline, and maybe Tim, although I wasn't sure because he sent a message early on with regard to one dimension, and that was the eligibility restrictions on the other side. And I don't believe Chuck has said clearly what his preference was on those two because he's such a good chair, or maybe he will like to...
what I was hoping, Bill, this is Chuck, I was hoping to continue my council chair role on this call and that Caroline would cover it for the stakeholder group, but she hasn't been able to join yet, and she said she did have a conflict has come up, so I don't know if she's going to be able to join us not, so I may have to wear both hats. I don't know where the registry stakeholder group will come out on this particular issue. My own personal view, I guess wearing a third hat right now, is that I thought the language we came up with allowed some flexibility with regard to the geographic diversity and gender diversity. Just in case, you know, Bill, I appreciated what you added as prefaces to both of those, assuming that the candidate pool allows for us to have those requirements. I personally was fairly comfortable with the way it was worded with regard to both geographic diversity and gender diversity. The thing of it is I think that, I mean, both Giannis and Peter, and I'm trying to look at it from their perspective too, they are going to have to, deal with those requirements from their perspective. And so I was trying to be, think from their point of view too. So personally, I think I'm okay with that language. I can't say that the registry stakeholder group will be, because I haven't tried to vet that, and I don't think Caroline has either. Now, she shared with me in an email this morning that she, kind of agreed with some of Christina's logic. So that's really all the information I have from the registry stakeholder group in that regard. I do personally support the approach you're advocating, Bill, and I think I suggested it, in fact, that an easier way to do this and with the time frame we have is to put a motion on the table and then ask for amendments. I would just ask that the amendments be made real early after the motion goes out so that there's plenty of time for all of us to vet with our respective groups.
Chuck, I'm sorry, go ahead. I just have when we get to the point about talking about the motion, I have a potentially different approach to that might be cleaner.
Okay. Go for it, Christina.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking that, you know, rather if we go with the approach of essentially having to have the text of the document within the body of the motion, then I think we really are potentially hamstringing ourselves. And what I am wondering whether we could do instead is have a very kind of generic motion that basically says, you know, goes through all the whereas and says the GNSO Council approves the process and whatever it is, whatever document set forth in document names as attached here too. And so the motion is clean, and it's really then we can really just focus on the language in those particular texts.
I'm not sure I follow.
Yeah, I don't think I do either, Christina. There was a lot of noise on the line, too. So.
Okay. I think it might be the weather. I can't see across the street. But instead of having a motion that recites within the body of the motion, kind of the text and the principles of these two documents.
Oh, no, the motion doesn't do that.
Okay. But why well, would think that you could just have a very generic motion that says essentially, after you get through all the whereas clauses, that the GNSO hereby approves and adopts the processes or whatever we're calling the two documents by their kind of formal names as, you know, as attached hereto and incorporated by reference. And that way the motion itself is clean,
yeah,
and then
Christina,
you can focus on the specific what?
Yeah. Christina, doesn't the first resolve, isn't that exactly what the first resolve does? Now, I don't have it in front of me because I'm not at my desk, but I thought the first resolution actually does what you just said. But
Is there a motion?
All right, if I can get it. There is a motion that's been circulated several times and redlined by Chuck. And the motion is, I think, clean by your definition, Christina. It's now, therefore, be it resolved that the endorsement process described in the attached document is hereby approved, and then further resolved that each stakeholder group and non-com appointee shall immediately commence their selection processes, et cetera. So it does not repeat any of the text of the process described, except that Chuck had added into one of the resolves, the council shall form an evaluation team, and that's one of the points where I said, well, I'm not sure we have closure on that one yet, so let's talk about it. So with regard to the diversity and eligibility restrictions issues, those are not in the motion per se. They are only in the proposed process document that the council will be called on to endorse. And so then at that point, you know, we send that out. And then if you and Caroline and whomever want to get together, Wolf, and want to get together and say, we propose a motion, an amendment to strike those two provisions, fine. You know, you send that to the list, and then we work it out. That's all we had in mind. Is that okay?
Okay. I mean, I would rather, I mean, frankly, I would rather that we have it as bracketed text because then, you know, having it in the text that goes out and requiring the motion, I think, frankly, makes it a little bit more complicated, and I think biases the outcome. I'm sorry?
Having what in bracketed text? I don't understand what you're suggesting.
Having kind of the alternatives, having what the alternatives are.
Oh, no, I think we've moved away. I had at one point proposed several different alternatives. That was simply me trying to inventory everything everybody had said. Like Chuck at one point had said, perhaps what we could do is require each of the stakeholder groups to ensure diversity within their, you know, if they nominate three, each of the three are different or something like that. So I had split those out as A, B, C options. But I think that, you know, probably at this stage, that's getting more complex than what's needed. I think that if what I was suggesting, Christina, is that the existing language simply be there, and then you propose an amendment to strike it. And the people who don't want the language will vote to strike it, and maybe you'll win. I don't think it biases the option, the outcome for it to be there, because, you know, obviously this is a point on which a chunk of the GNSO is going to feel one way, and a chunk of the GNSO is going to feel the other way, whether you put brackets or not. I mean, I don't feel religious about not having brackets, but to me it seems not the usual way that we do this when there's a point that's contested.
And I think can I jump in, Bill?
Yes, please.
Okay. I think didn't the brackets apply to the process itself and not to the motion? Christina, is it possible for you to pull up the red line version of the motion that I had sent?
Well, here's the problem is I'm not seeing the motion. I'm seeing the very text for the two documents. But I'm not.
No, there's.
Okay.
Hey,
sorry.
It's Margie. Chuck, I think you didn't circulate it to the list. I thought you just circulated it take a look at your email, because I looked at it. It looked like it was just Liz.
I can't look at my email. Can somebody that did receive it forward it to the list, please? I apologize if I didn't do that.
I don't think it arrived on the list, Chuck. This is Glenn, because I looked for it, too.
Sorry. I have been spinning in so many different directions that I must have let that one slip. I guess I was waiting for concurrence from Bill and Margie, and then was supposed to forward it, and I let that slip. My apologies.
And my apologies, too. I thought that you had sent it to the list and didn't notice the difference. Christina, let me just tell you again. Do you want me to read it real quick? There's the whereases that are straightforward. Accountability and transparency team will include members endorsed by GNSO Council in its efforts, whereas the Council desires to adopt a one-time process, blah, blah, blah. Be it resolved, again, that the endorsement process described in the attached document is hereby approved. Resolved further that each stakeholder group and GNSO Council nominating committee appointees shall immediately commence their selection process in accordance with the endorsement process. Resolved further, ICANN staff has directed the post and distributed endorsement process as widely as possible to all GNSO-related groups in an effort to inform qualified applicants in the important work, it should say of the important work, of the accountability and review team. I will have to change that. But then Chuck added, resolved further, the council shall form an evaluation team made up of one counselor from each stakeholder group plus one NCA in its meeting on 18 February to rate the responses and report to the council list no later than 25 February, the idea being there that...
Well, can I jump in on that one? I added a comment, too, in that, realizing that we hadn't firmed that up. And it's
right.
And what I said, we can delete that if we decide not to go that way.
Yes, understood. Resolved further, ICANN staff has directed to schedule a special council teleconference call on 26 February at a time that maximizes council participation for the purpose of finalizing GNSO endorsements. Resolved further that the AOC reviewed drafting team is requested to continue its work to develop a longer term process for council consideration in April. Is somebody juggling their phone? So anyway, the operative point here is then, Christina, that the only bit where we're referring to the document, and actually it only refers to the process, because the other thing I think doesn't, the other thing, the plan, it doesn't need to be adopted necessarily by the motion unless you think it should. But it just says resolved that the endorsement process is hereby approved. So the discussion of gender, of geographic diversity, of gender equity, are not included in the motion, nor is the question of any eligibility restrictions on being able to stand for a position.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Are you good with that, Christina?
I'm Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those. I'm very much more of a visual person, and it looks like the text came in. It sounds fine to me. I just, you know, want to take a quick eyeball on it. But
okay.
Yeah,
well,
fine.
It should come to you quickly. Again, the point is that you're concerned that the points not be elaborated in the motion is addressed. The motion does not do that.
Okay.
All right. Now, so if we can agree then that those two dimensions we're going to leave for people to put forward amendments on, then I think we can progress this very quickly. There's one outstanding question on the process, though. That is under point six, for the two slots that are not allocated to the stakeholder group, in the event that more than two candidates receive at least a simple majority from each house, ties will be broken as follows in the order presented: geographical or gender diversity, total votes received, and the third, the council non-voting non-com appointee will be asked to break the tie. I think since we have not actually asked Andre if he's willing to do that, that we should strike that last position. And hopefully we won't get to that point. What does anybody think about that?
Ben, this is Olga. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. I couldn't talk before. I'm sorry. I don't know what documents are you talking about. I don't have the documents either. I know you already said that, but I just wanted to express that. I'm confused about which is the language that we're discussing. And I heard you, and I'm okay with that, and that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, Olga. We're talking about the proposed process for GNSO endorsements document that's been circulating.
Yeah,
on
I know.
List.
But I'm sincerely confused about the final version of the document because I cannot find it.
Olga, I resent the clean versions of the process and the drafting team action items to you. Did you not receive that?
Just
it went
now?
To the list. No, Olga, it's been on the list for a while.
I understand that, Bill, but because of her comment on the list, I did resend the ones where I accepted all
not,
the things.
Not yet. I haven't received it yet.
Olga,
look
in the thread called Two Documents Attached.
Yeah, it's quite confusing. It's quite long, and this is where I found the options, and I already expressed my comments about that, but I'm confused about which is the last version of the document. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Well, the last version is basically not going to be much different from the earlier versions. We simply accepted all the changes to make it clean to look at. That's all. So,
Okay. Again,
all we're talking about here right now is that for the two open slots that will be voted by the council as a whole on the basis of majority of each house, the third element that was proposed by Chuck was that Andre would break a tie if the other two approaches didn't work. I'm suggesting I don't think we'll get to that stage, and we haven't asked Andre, and people weren't even sure they agree with that method. So I think we should just cut that for now, and if we have to cross the bridge later, we can.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Hi, Ben. This is Zaid.
Hi, Zaid. Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me. I just wanted to get a clarification on a couple of points. So the current document has geographical diversity and gender balance in there. And what about the criteria with regard to the there was one suggestion for exclusion of counselors. Is that mentioned in that at the moment or not mentioned?
No,
what have we chosen?
There is no language about excluding people from being able to stand for the position because that was not contemplated earlier in the discussion.
Great.
What the language that we included was about what requirements the GNSO wants people to meet in terms of what they submit with their application. So if people want to put forward a eligibility restriction, then that's properly just another motion. There's two amendments to be put forward by folks that want this. One is to strike the diversity. The other is to insert an eligibility restriction if that's what they want to do. And obviously, probably they will want to consult with their respective stakeholder groups on that point.
So it's Christina, just for purposes of clarity, I know that when we spoke about the specific additional GNSO requirements the other day, we did not specifically talk about the counselor eligibility restriction. Having said that, I know that Tim very early on had put that out on the list. So I don't want folks listening to the recording to think that this just kind of came out of nowhere at the 11th hour.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Christine, if I gave that impression. When I ran through the outstanding issues earlier, I thought I said that Caroline Wolf and I believe Tim had expressed the view that an eligibility restriction would be appropriate.
Okay.
And that there was another chunk of people who felt the other way, and so we have this. So I think if you can write an amendment, that would be perfectly, you know, that'd be great. Okay.
Yep.
All right. If everybody's cool with that, then can we just turn to the one other outstanding issue in the text? Because this is one where people have not expressed as much in the way of viewpoints. And boy, I'm really hearing a lot of echo of myself. I don't know who's got what's going on. But the evaluation team concept, I think we simply, again, as I said in my email, I think Chuck and I have different views on the merits of this, although neither of us probably is ready to harry-carry if we don't get our way. I think we both feel like it's not an absolutely imperative issue. But clearly,
that's correct, Bill. I confirm that.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Chuck. I just shouldn't have characterized your views. So we have not heard very much from others about that point. I think Rafiq and Olga in their messages today supported what I was saying. I think Zaheed supported what Chuck was saying, and I think Christina had earlier supported what Chuck was saying. So,
and I think Wolf did too, I believe. But
okay, so Wolf did too. So that is also a point on which we're basically evenly divided. And so I don't know if we want to treat that in the same way we're treating the other two issues, possibly having an amendment.
Can I actually ask two questions? I guess my concern about the evaluation team is that it seems to me to be a very useful structure to have. And if counselors want to say, okay, I trust the judgment of the evaluation team, you know, here I accept their rating, that's fine. I'm just concerned that if we don't have any kind of mechanism like that, from what I am understanding, there have been email messages that have gone out to tens of thousands of people encouraging them to apply. And if we get even 1% of responses from that, that's going to be a huge amount of paper for all of us to wade through. And I'm just a little concerned that we may be inadvertently and unintentionally setting ourselves up for a huge headache.
All right. I take your point, Christina. Personally, I tend to think that we're not going to be swamped with applications, but that's perhaps just my own guess. What we could do is leave the evaluation team language in there until the 18th, and maybe by then we'll have more of a sense of whether we're getting a big cool. And if after we all go back to our stakeholder groups, if NCSG people say to me, please put in an amendment to take that out, then I'll file an amendment. So in other words, If it's easier for everybody, we can leave that in there for now. I just personally don't think that the council will probably feel all that guided by whatever an evaluation team will say. I think the registries and the registrars and the business, we're all going to have our preferences and our way of thinking about this. And whether they rank somebody a 2 or a 3, I'll bet you it doesn't affect the vote. That's my guess.
Bill, that's another thing we can talk about briefly is that you could have an evaluation team that just identifies strengths and weaknesses and leave it at that with no ranking.
Somebody else should say what they think about this. I feel a little odd about the way we evaluate people, and if we're going to cut out a list saying this person's weak and that person's strong. I don't know. I feel funny about that. But
Bill, this is Zahid. Can I make a point?
Please do.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we have a good reason for having an evaluation team in case we get inundated with applications. So Christina makes a good point that if there's going to be hundreds of applications coming in, then we may need some sort of a filtering mechanism, and I can appreciate that. But in the eventuality we get like 20 or 30, I think this is something that we can probably handle. So there could be sort of a saving clause or something there, sort of setting a threshold that in case, you know, the GNSO gets inundated, give it a number, 20, 30, 40, whatever, then we may have an evaluation team. Otherwise, we go ahead the way we've already agreed.
That works for me.
All right. That would have
Bill,
no action. Yes, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, just one other point on something you said earlier. As I think all of you have seen, I've sent out a message, and Glenn has distributed it widely throughout the GNSO community today, that we're asking people that want to be endorsed by the GNSO to hold off until after the meeting on the 18th to submit their application to ICANN. If they follow that direction, we may very well not have a very good clue as to how many applicants will be seeking GNSO endorsement until after our council meeting on the 18th. Just wanted to make you aware, remind you of that, so that if we're anticipating getting a good feel for how many there will be seeking GNSO endorsement, and that's the only ones we're going to be concerned with, then we probably won't get that information until after the 18th.
Fair point. Okay, as I say, I'm prepared to leave it in if others are okay with that. Here's my question. Actually, Chuck, as I look at what we've done, you know, we don't actually describe the evaluation team in the proposed process, which is the document people outside of the council would see. We only introduce the concept of it in the action plan, which is an internal document. Should I... if we're going to say that an evaluation team is going to be ranking your proposals, I suppose we should move the operative or copy the operative sentence over, shouldn't we?
I think you're right, Bill. But could we get a feel for those on the call at least what approach they would like to start with, understanding that it can be amended. And what I'm getting at, do people feel like it's good for them to rank, or would it be sufficient to just identify strengths and weaknesses, or to identify, you know, candidates that they think are not qualified, that are qualified? What do others think about what we want them to do? I do support the idea of an evaluation team, but I'm not locked into the idea of ranking. In fact, if there are a lot of candidates, ranking could be very... very complicated to do in 3 or 4 days.
No,
Chuck, I'd agree with that.
That's a great point, yeah.
Perhaps what they could do is simply try to identify a pool of 10 without having to specify strengths, weaknesses. We like this one, we rank this one that way. Just call the group to a group of 10 that the two houses would then look at, recognizing that the House can vote for anybody, but 10 that in particular they call attention to as viable.
Well, isn't their work going to be more directed towards the two open positions?
Yes, it's only on the two open positions.
The
other four are all locked in. So
right. Okay.
Those are off the table.
So we're only talking about only two, you know, basically for the election of the two.
So this is described in the proposed process document. It says, okay, actually, you know what? We do describe it enough. We say prior to the vote an for the two open slots, an evaluation team comprising one counselor from each stakeholder group plus one non-council appointee will rate the responses and report to the council. I can change rate the responses and report to the council to we can make it more fluid and just say we'll assess the responses and report to the council.
That's good.
And if I, and then we could determine exactly how we're going to do that later. And prior to this sentence then, at the beginning of the sentence when it says prior to the vote, evaluation team will, I can say in the event that there are X number, an evaluation team will such and such. What's the number?
why don't we just let the give the evaluation team, if we go that way, the flexibility to do the best they can in 3 or 4 days. And they can give us 10 that they identify. They can, you know, we're dealing with so many unknowns here is that I think leaving it as flexible as possible for the evaluation team, I think, is helpful.
All right. I'm fine with that. Everybody else okay?
I'm fine with it.
Okay. So we leave the evaluation team language in there. My only other question on evaluation teams, Chuck, do we need for the evaluation team to be mentioned in the motion as you did? Is there any particular reason for that?
Well,
I don't.
We're gonna have to. Here's what I was thinking, Bill. We're gonna have to get that evaluation team functioning immediately on the 18th, and that's why I put that in there. And what I was going to do, and this is part of that other message that I sent around, I think, I don't have it in front of me right here, is that we need to have the counselors come prepared to identify their member of that evaluation team on the 18th. So that needs to happen in that meeting so that they can plan their strategy. So come the 22nd or 23rd, after they receive all the applications, they're ready to go. Because they're only going to have like 3 full days.
This is Christina. I have a different question. I just want to kind of come back to it. But okay, go ahead. No, I think that's a good idea, Chuck.
Okay. I don't feel strongly either way. So,
I did have a question about the process document in point two, where we specifically talk about the evaluation team. And I realize I'm probably being hyper literal here, but where we say up to 2 additional nominees will be selected by a simple majority vote of each house. One of these slots will be reserved for candidates. Da 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 da. If we're going to have potentially 2 nominees, one of which and one slot's going to be reserved for somebody who's not associated with the stakeholder group, where does the other slot come from?
Stakeholder group. In other words, Christina, you know, each of the stakeholder groups is going to nominate the one person that they definitely want in the pool, right? And those are uncontestable. Then there's a fifth possible slot, and we can all put forward a candidate for that slot that we want to be assessed in a competitive open evaluation.
Oh, I didn't really focus on that. I guess what I'm thinking is that could just get really, frankly, I don't know. I just, to me, it seems that if you have each stakeholder group getting one slot, if we're going to have 2 extra slots, then the 2 slots should be for the quote-unquote unallocated people.
But there might not be that.
Otherwise, you're ending up with a situation then in that case we don't have the 2 extra slots. I didn't realize we were ending up with a situation where you could end up with one stakeholder group having 2 people nominated.
Okay, but bear in mind too, we're only talking about the pool that Giannis and Peter are going to pick from. It's highly unlikely that Giannis and Peter are going to pick 2 same stakeholder groups, for example.
Yeah, that's right.
But if people think that we had talked about up to six for quite some time, that number kind of locked in seemingly a symmetrical one, hoping that they're going to give us at least two. So we've been saying six. And so I made one for, you know, I suggested 1B for the non-allocated and then one that would be a wild card. If people don't want the wild card, we can say that we're going to only nominate up to five. But except that Chuck, I think, has already sent out a message to stakeholder chairs saying that we'll nominate up to six.
Yeah, keep in mind that I qualified that to say that, you know, this is still in process, so, you know, it's not unchangeable, but I have sent out that message.
Yeah, I guess
okay.
You know, I'm fine with keeping six. I just don't see why they couldn't both be, quote-unquote, unallocated.
Well, this is Zion. Can I come in?
Please.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so I was going to say, if it's wide open to anybody, it could be an NCA, it could be someone from another SG, it could even be somebody from outside the community, completely wide open. It gives flexibility if we want to put certain names forward, because this sort of process is kind of going to be developed for the next years. We want to keep as much flexibility as possible. Otherwise, what we end up is with, you know, one SG, one representative, and we have five, for instance, or then we have to look outside our GNSO. One of the things I am reminded of is that the people that we select and we put forward are supposed to, quote-unquote, represent the GNSO. So the more people from within the SGs or within the GNSO, the better, is what I'm saying. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're saying four for SGs and two for NCAs. And I think that's a good balance.
Well, I don't think we're saying two for NCAs. We're just talking about people who 2 weeks ago didn't even know what ICANN's, you know, what the actual...
Yeah, exactly. And then those individuals, this is then those individuals, and this is where it's important to look at the language of the EOC, which says they need to represent the GNSO. And if they haven't had that much coordination experience within the GNSO itself, then, you know, it raises questions as to how they would represent the GNSO interest. Because the EOC language is very specific. It says representatives of the GNSO or you know, SOs or ACs.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, I can live with this. I just didn't realize that we were going to kind of create a free-for-all for slot five.
All right. Can I just make 2 points? First, on the question of representation, Saeed, I read your message about that. We, earlier in our deliberations, because we were trying to interpret, well, we were inclined, those of us who are speaking to the point anyway, were inclined to think that what we were really trying to do here is appoint people who will be relatively neutral and more based on, you know, operating more based on the expertise than on strict representation of interests. We even said in our reply to the comment request to the public comments that we thought of these as not so much as representational positions as kind of neutral people who would serve the community as a whole. So it is true that the AOC has that language, which is slightly corporatist sounding, but we did kind of lean towards a little bit different interpretation of that. The other point I would make, though, is if I understood you correctly, Zaheed, you were saying that both slots would be wide open, and I want to make sure that this is clear. We were suggesting that one slot would be reserved for people who are not affiliated with or supported by any particular stakeholder group. That would be NCAs, independent people from the GNSO community who might have kind of multiple hats or identities, or people who, where they should fit in the topography has been the subject of some debate. So it was not envisioned that sixth slot would be one that stakeholder candidates would be considered for. But for the fifth
slot.
Okay,
that's fine.
Okay?
That's fine. That's fine by me.
And I hope
that. Can we just say that then? Can we?
Well, I think we do.
Okay.
We say one of these slots that up to two additional nominees will be selected by a simple majority vote of each house. One of these slots will be reserved for candidates who do not self-identify with any particular stakeholder group, including NomCom appointees.
No. I was suggesting that we just go on and add a sentence that says the other slot will be allocated to the stakeholder group nominee who receives the most votes, or whatever it is that we're going to say, so that there's no confusion as to
one slot reserved,
what are we doing with the other one?
I don't understand what you're suggesting. What do you mean the stakeholder groups that receive this? You mean of the other four candidates? I'm not understanding.
That you're going to have four SG candidates. Whoever the SG puts up, you know,
right.
What we do with the diversity, they're in. Then you have one slot for kind of unallocated, whether that's people who have never participated in ICANN, people who may have multiple potential stakeholder memberships, NCAs, whomever.
Right.
Then there's potentially the sixth slot, which, if I understood correctly from Bill, was going to be an opportunity for each SG to put up one more person for that slot number six. And whichever
we did not, right.
Okay. No?
The language does not define a restriction on who that might be. So I just assume, I assume that people, you know, you're saying specify it, and I assume people would read it and understand there's one more slot, and there's no limitation
on that.
And
it's totally open.
Yeah.
It's totally open. Yeah.
So, Christina, you would like me to specify what that other slot is?
Yeah, even if we just say, you know, the slot number six will be, you know, filled from either, you know, whatever it is that we're going to say, just so that it's clear, because I know that I'm already getting a lot of questions about this process, and I want to, you know, the fewer questions I have to answer because the document answers them, the happier I am.
Okay, well,
I support that. Thank you, guys.
Okay, the problem is I wouldn't know how to specify it because it is open. It's open to, you know, it could be stakeholder, but it could be non-stakeholder. The point is one of those two is reserved for not identified with a stakeholder group. The other one can be anything. So if you would like a sentence that says this can be anything, we can figure out a way to do that, but I would think people would infer that by saying additional nominee will be selected by majority vote. One of these slots is reserved, meaning the other one's not. I mean, I could try and wordsmith it, but I actually have to leave here in 10 minutes, and I'm a little concerned about what I'm going to do with these documents. But luckily, I'm in a different time zone.
The only one who's confused by it and it needs clarification, well, then it's clearly not an issue, so let it go.
Christina, this is Zahid. Can I make a suggestion? I don't want to do, I mean, since you have a clear understanding of how you want to allocate that one, do you think it makes sense that maybe you could wordsmith something in there while Bill, because I know he's here in 3 days.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
No, look, I can do this. How about this? Look, up to two additional nominees will be selected by a simple majority vote of each house, period. New sentence. One of these slots will be open to applicants from any kind, period. The other slot will be reserved for candidates who do not self-identify with any particular stakeholder group, including nominees.
Perfect.
Non-comment appointees.
I like you.
Fine? So I just say that?
Yeah.
Okay. One of these slots will be open, to candidates, open to applicants of any kind, period.
Yep.
The other slot will be reserved for candidates. Okay, fine.
Great.
Okay. All right. With that addition made then, and with the evaluation team language in, and the Andre point struck out, the only other question I had on the process document, and then I can save this as a PDF and send it to the council. I was a little confused by what we wrote. That I don't know if Chuck wrote this or I wrote this. I think maybe Chuck wrote it. So, Chuck, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Under additional GNSO requirements, we added J. The following information must be submitted to the GNSO Secretariat, preferably with a CV and motivation letter submitted in response to ICANN request for volunteers. That makes it sound to me like we're suggesting to people that they should do a separate application to the GNSO Secretariat
Yeah, let me tell you what I was, Bill. Let me tell you what I was trying to do there, and I'm totally open to fixes. What my fear is that some people will miss the message or not pay attention, and will submit their CV and their motivation letter to ICANN, and then they will need to add the information that we request. That's all I was trying to address there. Now, maybe it's sufficient, and I've kind of already asked, I think I've already asked Marco to do this, is maybe it's sufficient to just, if somebody does that, have Marco send them back a message saying, hey, the GNSO needs this information. So if you want to delete that, if you think that's the best way, that's all I was trying to deal with.
I would think that staff could do a rapid response and say, hey, we check out the GNSO's requirements. Unless others feel differently, but I just worry we're going to confuse people. I mean, they're following the ICANN process. There's this thing up there.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm fine with that.
Or why don't we just say, applicants interested in being considered for nomination by the GNSO must include with the CV and motivation letter the following information.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I just wouldn't use the word nomination. I'd use the word endorsement.
Whatever we're going to say, but just so that we don't, because I think Bill's right about having, you know, if you said, yeah, anyway, I just think it's cleaner to make it clear. You want to be endorsed by the GNSO, this is what you got to give us, in addition to the
but
other.
Must include, though, in their submission to ICANN.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Applicants interested in being considered for, you don't like nomination, Chuck? You want what?
Endorsement. For endorsement by the GNSO. Because that's really what the AOC is asking us to do.
Okay. Now, applicants interested in being considered for endorsement by the GNSO must include in their submission to ICANN the following information. And they know that they have to send a CV and motivation letter, so I can cut the rest of that sentence.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah, or right. Also include, because that way you avoid any uncertainty about do I just
okay.
this or did
Must.
It.
All right.
Yeah,
thank
and that's
you.
What I that's why I left that in there, in addition to the CV and the motivation letter, just to be very explicitly clear. But that I'm comfortable, Bill, with how you do that.
Okay. Okay, I think we're good. It's good to have lawyers on the call, copy editing.
Bill, a question for next step. Can you go ahead and make the motion on the council list, and then one of the rest of us can second it? I won't be able to get to that for a couple hours, but if you could do that, that would be great.
Yes, I'm probably ahead of all of you, so if you don't mind, I will do this when I come back from dinner. So we'll go up in about 3 hours or something like that.
Enjoy your dinner.
I hate to ask this. Do we have any flexibility on when we have our council meeting? Because I can tell you now that David Taylor and I are not going to be. We're going to have almost no availability on the 26th. Do we have any way to push it back, or does that mean the evaluation team gets no time?
On the 26th. We have until the 1st. To give our endorsements to Giannis and Peter, okay? If we have it on the 1st, I can't make it. Now, maybe that's not critical. I don't know.
I was actually thinking about having our council call on the 25th as opposed to
the 25th. The problem, I mean, we can try it. The problem of it is we're not going to probably receive the applications that want GNSO endorsement until the 23rd.
Oh, my goodness.
And all of us need to also consult with our stakeholder groups and constituencies. So we were already in a really short time frame. That's why I picked that date. But you're right, Christina. We need to have people there. I mean, we just shouldn't have it too early on the 25th if we do that. Do we want to have Glenn or Gisela do a doodle on that?
Yeah, I think if we could do a doodle for the 25th or 26th and whichever day time is going to have the most people on the call, I think that's great. You know, and that's just how it'll have to work. And if it's the 26th, then David and I will try and work something out. But
and that's,
I know right
that's
now
an easy edit. That's an easy edit in the stuff we're submitting and the motion and so forth. Glenn, are you still on?
I think not.
Gisela or Glenn, either one of you on?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was on mute. Yes, Chuck, do you want me to send out a doodle for the 26th or 27th?
No, 25th or 26th.
25th or 26th, yes. Got it, yes, in front of me.
Now, I don't think we should put too early a time on the, within reason, on the 25th, just because we're going to be really up against the crunch for people being ready. So, but I think you can be a little more flexible on the 26th, and let's just see which one works best. That'll be good information.
I'm a little confused though, because we've got the evaluation team reporting back on the 25th. Are we changing all the dates?
We would have to, Bill. That was one of my concerns.
Because the deadline is now the 22nd, right? So if the evaluation team is going to do any work, saying that they're going to do it by the 24th is a little tight.
I agree. And this, unfortunately, is not an issue that is covered by absentee voting.
Right.
So you know, it's a problem. I don't know what to say. This whole thing is terribly awkward and difficult because of the time frame. So, okay. Let's do the doodle, and then we're going to have to try and figure it out. The dates adjustments for the evaluation team. And the other dates that we have in the motion obviously can be easily edited as friendly amendments, I think. I understand the concerns.
Okay, I think we can't go through the whole document and try and adjust all the dates in the abstract. So let's submit the document as is, and then, as you say, if we have to adjust the dates, we'll do it with an amendment later. Okay. Is that all right with everybody?
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, fine. All right.
Before everybody signs off, this is Zahid. Whenever I'd like to say something not with regard to process, but it's an important point with the AOC, whenever you guys want to do that.
Can
I go ahead now?
Sure, go ahead.
I know you have to go to that. Okay, thing is that the representation point, Bill, that you made, I just wanted to make a point there. The people on the review team are going to be the chair of the GAC, so they're going to be sort of looking at themselves and the chair of the board looking at themselves. And you need people there on the review team who really well understand what's been going on inside the GNSO. So that's exactly why I think it's important that we focus on that. If we have people that we're choosing to put onto this review team who have no understanding of how the GNSO functions, then we lose out on that knowledge. And basically, you know, individuals who have no idea how this functions may, you know, have to then review us. I don't know how well that works out. I just wanted to flag that point. Thanks.
Okay.
Ben, this is Olga.
Yes.
I totally agree with Zahid. I think it should be people really very involved with GNSO.
Yes, I'm of the same view. It's somewhat different from the whole question of participation or representation, but I get it. I've got these two documents clean, actually, now, I guess, I hope. I will just save them as PDFs and send them with the motion to the list. I'll do it now before I go out. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.